the plot twist. I forgot. I'm still Davin.
I am still Laura.
And we, in November, are traveling back to a time that we have not visited or a place that we have not gone to in very many a year. Not because we don't like it. We love it. Just because we suck and our brains go 75 different ways. And for some reason, the wind has not blown us over here. But this month, it has. And we are participating in Nordic Noir November. And by participating, we read one book so far. So
I read one book.
Participation is minimal, but it is still there. We're here.
Hey, I don't know, because that did scratch an itch that I didn't know my brain had.
Yes.
So
very much so.
I don't know. It might kick off a trend.
I hope so, because I really enjoyed it. I reading this book, our pick, I was like, whoa. Not that I ever forgot why I liked Nordic Noir. I very clearly know why I like it. But, like, knowing those plot points and then reading a book again in that genre is very different. So yeah. I was, like, very much ready to go with this.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, I know I love the genre and I enjoy it when I read it, but, like, I forget how much I like it when I take a break. Because it's just not... I'm not reading it in the summer. I'm just not.
No, you can't. That's a crime.
It's not where my brain is going.
No. I feel like summer, like, honestly, and not just because we're the group of weirdos who Halloween is all the time, but, like, summer to, like, October is horror time, I feel like. And then after that, it's, like... horror can be any time, but it's also like time for maybe some fantasy books in November for like magic or Nordic Noir when it's like cold and wintry and atmospheric in the perfect setting for very grisly murders.
Exactly.
So not to keep you on your toes that much longer, this month we are reading The Mountain King by Anders Delamotte. And this is the first in a series, the Asker series. This was fun. This was last, honestly, I have to say, you picked our last 2 months of books, for sure. And
I'm killing it.
Very good. You picked 2 bangers. This one, I loved it.
We've had 3 in a row that have been,
Very, very good. So this one, it follows Criminal Inspector Leonore Asker, otherwise affectionately known as Leo. She seems to have the leading position in Malmo's major crime division within Reach, but then things go awry when in the middle of a high-profile kidnapping case, management relegates her to the so-called Department of Lost Souls, which is the coolest name for a, criminal cop department. It's so cool. And it's the unit for odd cold cases that are banished to the basement of the police station. Despite the humiliation, Asker is drawn into one of the more peculiar cases. Someone is placing small, ominous figures in town, and one of them seems to represent the missing woman from the kidnapping case. As Asker investigation takes her to abandoned buildings, she reaches out to a local architecture expert, and together, they explore the sinister recesses of the city and discover that an unusual kind of evil lurks in the shadows. Bum, bum, bum.
Yes, it does.
This is fun. I didn't know going in, I don't know about you, that it was a series. So I am very excited that it is, except we are behind in the English translation. So we only have 2 available to us. And there is, I think, 4 out in Scandinavia. So.
Yeah. I finished it this morning and was like, more now. Eyeballs. More for the eyes.
Yes, please. I very much want to read more. I am for sure reading the sequel, like, easily
in November, because spoiler alert, it's not November for us right now.
No, we are past Davin and Laura talking to you in the future, but future Davin and Laura are 100% continuing this, because it's just all the things. So what is it going into it, like, what about Nordic Noir, like, why do you like it, how does it differ from you from, like, other crime fiction, maybe American crime fiction, for example?
Well, so I live in America. I found it very uninteresting. I would rather read...
You heard it here first, folks.
I would rather read a book set somewhere else. I just would.
Yes.
Specifically crime procedurals. I don't know why, but an American crime procedural doesn't work for me. I'm like, I don't know. Big cops and their big guns, tanks, whatever. Everything. I don't want to read about American police. I just don't. So reading... That's part of it. I just like books set in other places. It's the atmospheric nature, like the, it's, I have never read one set in the summer, but just like they're always set in fall and the leaves are blowing. I actually highlighted a passage from this book where I was like, this is why, this paragraph is why I like it. I don't know if I can actually pull it up, but I highlighted it for my own little brain.
My own little brain. I'm sure you can find it. I believe in you.
I'm sure I can. But that's part of it, is just the atmosphere and the setting and descriptions of just a life that's different than mine and scenery that's prettier than mine, because I live in kind of not rural but a suburb of Chicago. It's just like a cornfield, a shopping mall.
Yeah.
Which, you know, these places have too, but they feel more interesting. And then my stupid reason for liking Nordic noir, which we have talked about before, is because they have coffee breaks and they have cake and sandwiches.
I forgot about this part, that that was one of the reasons that you really resonated with, that you're like, and I too would like a sandwich.
I want 3 p.m. cake, and I just, they're always eating a sandwich and having coffee, and that sounds like the best. I should have made coffee before this episode.
Hey, I found
the thingy.
Okay, what is it?
So it's, the darkness lies thick over the house and grounds in which Asker lives. The wind has picked up. It tears the autumn leaves from their trees and casts them against the panorama window in a rustling deluge, like butterfly wings in a jar. Yeah!
That's a good one. That's a good line.
Blow leaves on my window. That's what I want.
That is what we want.
So that's why. Very nonsensical reasons why I gravitate towards the genre. What about you?
I just feel like it's a few things. I feel like they're darker and grittier than a lot of American crime procedurals. And that's not to say that there aren't like dark and gritty, like Karen Slaughter comes to mind. Like her books are pretty dark and in your face. And yeah. I like her reasoning for it too, if you like watch interviews with her. But I just feel like as a whole, for the most part, almost every book you read is very intense. It is very, it's some of the craziest kill scenes I've ever read in my life have come from Nordic noir and not horror books, I feel like. And I also feel like the plots are a little bit more layered and intricate than what otherwise is. And again, not to like cast an overall, just like American crime procedurals aren't like that at all, but there's just something about how Nordic noir stories layer different, like three different plot lines, and they all end up having something to do with each other in a very organic mm-hmm. way that makes sense. And it just feels like, especially this one that we're going to talk about, it felt like something you would watch too. Like it was very cinematic. It was like, yeah. You know, like there's just something about it where it was like, I want to know more. Like you feel like you're a detective too, you know? So
I am a detective.
Okay. Yeah. I can't wait to talk about it further, because you had some interesting messages this morning and I need to know what exactly happened there. But yeah, those
speaking
are the
of like to watch, it's interesting, because when I was Googling and just kind of like compiling a list of nothing, as you'll find out later, when you look at Nordic noir, it pulls up books, but you'll also be drawn into, you can put in Scandi noir. And when you do that, it pulls up TV shows. So I thought that was interesting, because it's okay. The same region, same stuff. But yeah. It's, when I look up Nordic noir, it almost always only pulls up books. And when you pull up Scandi noir, it almost always only pulls up TV shows.
I wonder if you do like Scandi crime, if it would do the same thing.
I don't know. I just thought that was interesting as I was looking. I was like, huh.
Well, we might have to throw some TV shows in there. I bet those are really good.
It's funny, because when I start watching them, it's like a binge.
Yes.
So I can't stop.
That sounds about right. Just like, basically, we are very much going on theme. I kind of have, my list this month is like a mix of, because when we did our episode for The Nothing Man, we gave our recommendations and most of them were Nordic noir, if not almost all of them. So I kind of went through most of my recommendations. So I kind of found a few that I have two recommendations that I don't think I gave. And then just some that sounded good that maybe would be something that I read and maybe a series that I go back to. So, do you want to kick us off with whatever is on your list? Because, one, we think we maybe have the same one on our list, which is unsurprising.
I think we have the same series we want to return to.
Oh, I can't wait. We probably do, because we talked about it before. So, kick us off with your...
Yeah, you didn't know. You don't know about the pug, so that doesn't work. I want you to guess, kind of.
Okay, so we've read them.
We read it together.
Is it The Witch Hunter?
No, but I want to return to that.
Okay, that's the one that I want to return to as well. Okay.
It's the other one. You might have continued with the series. I'm not sure.
Is it Junalina?
No.
Okay, it's another series.
Yeah, so the first book in the series is The Tenant by Katrine Engberg.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Engberg. My mouth isn't working today. And I remember her debut, like, it was good. There were some issues, like some polishing, but I think she's got 3 or 4 out now.
Yes.
And so I know I have The Harbor, which was the second one, and so I would like to return.
I think The Harbor's the third one. I think Butterfly Effect was second.
Maybe I have Butterfly Effect.
Because I have the second one.
Yeah, I think I have the second one, whichever one that is, upstairs. I just like the cover for The Harbor, maybe. So The Tenant is... When a young woman is discovered brutally murdered in her own apartment with an intricate pattern of lines carved onto her face, Copenhagen police detectives Corner and Warner are assigned... That's wrong. It's probably Werner. I don't know. I don't speak this language. My brain just shut down. My brain was Dutch. Like, you don't speak any language. Done.
No language at all.
In short order, they establish a link between the victim, Julie Stender, and her landlady, Esther De Laurenti, who's a bit too fond of drink and the host of raucous dinner parties with her artist friends. And I think that she has pugs. Esther also turns out to be a budding novelist, and when Julie turns up as a murder victim in the still unfinished mystery she's writing, the link between fiction and real life grows both more urgent and more dangerous. But Esther's role in this twisted scenario is not quite as clear as it seems. Is she the culprit or just another victim trapped in a twisted game of vengeance? The detectives must dig more deeply into the two women's pasts to discover the identity of the brutal puppet master pulling the strings in this electrifying literary thriller.
Bum, bum, bum. Yeah, I truly remember nothing about that book. That's not to say it wasn't good, because I know I did enjoy reading it. I just don't remember anything else.
Well, it was many moons ago, so that's unsurprising. And the only thing I remember is pugs.
Yep. Yeah, we did not have the same book on our list at all.
Somebody has pugs.
Somebody has pugs. The whole, when you said the patterns on the face, I was like, okay, yes, I do. I remember that. Like,
I don't remember weird. That at all.
It was weird. So then I guess to go into the other one I thought it was, which is The Witch Hunter, which is the Jessica Niemi series by Max Seek. I do remember really liking The Witch Hunter. I remember being iffy on the ending and where it was going, because it was kind of random.
Well, I can see kind of where it's going. I didn't mind the ending, and I liked the plot line. I didn't like Jessica.
She it's was me. Iffy. Yeah.
Jessica. I'm sorry.
It'll be interesting. There's 4 books out now, and I definitely need to...
There's 4?
Yes. Okay, well, can you... When do you think The Witch Hunter came out, if you had to guess?
2021.
No. 2019.
20. I guess that makes sense, because I remember I was reading it when I was in line to vote.
Very appropriate book. For that.
Very appropriate. I just remember, and then I went to like the square in the little town that I lived in at the time to take a picture.
Okay. Nice. That sounds about right. Getting two things done at once.
I should have said 19. That makes sense.
Okay, so this one, it follows, so a best-selling author's wife has been found dead in a gorgeous black evening gown sitting at the head of a formally set dinner table. Her most chilling feature, her face is frozen into a ghastly smile. At first, it seems as though a deranged psychopath is reenacting the gruesome murders from The Witch Hunter, the bestseller written by the victim's husband, but investigator Jessica Niemi soon realizes she's not looking for a single killer, but rather for dozens of believers in a sinister form of witchcraft. They know her every move and are always one step ahead. As the bodies start piling up, Jessica knows they won't stop until they get what they want. And when her dark past comes to light, Jessica finds herself battling her own demons while desperately trying to catch a coven of killers before they claim their next victim. Bum, bum, bum.
It was good. It's such a good plot, but I have like the witch coven or whatever the second one is upstairs.
Mm-hmm, me too.
So I will try and do that in November, I think. Sorry, I mean now.
And yes, now, right now. Laura's gonna
I like how I looked this. At my microphone as if there's somebody in there.
Like telling you.
To yell at me.
They're like, no, it's not time yet.
So my next one is a want to read, and it doesn't come out until February of 2026. So I am sorry about this. You know how I said I don't want to read about it if it's set in America?
Yeah.
Joe Nesbo's next book is set in Minneapolis.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So I do want to read that. His books are normally not set in America.
No.
But he did like a horror one that came out maybe last year or the year before. And I think that one was set in America and it was weird. This is called something. What are you called, book? It's called Wolf Hour.
Okay.
Minneapolis, Minnesota, 2016. When a small-time criminal and gun dealer is shot down in the street, all signs point to Thomas Gomez, a quiet man with a mysterious past and deep connections to a notorious gang, who has seemingly vanished into thin air. Other murders soon follow, and it appears Gomez is only getting started. Meanwhile, Bob Oz, a down-and-out suspended police officer with a dubious past of his own, becomes fascinated by the case. He is obsessed with the notion of hunting down a serial killer who only he can understand, a killer with a story as tragic as his own. And then Minneapolis, Minnesota, 2022, an enigmatic Norwegian man with ties to Minneapolis, a self-described crime writer, has traveled to the United States to research the Gomez case in the hopes of writing a book about it. But as his investigation progresses, the writer's seemingly neutral position reveals itself to be more complicated than the reader is initially led to believe. So yeah, I like a dual timeline. I like a book within a book, so it has aspects that I'm interested in. Mm-hmm. I do not care about, like, gang stuff. I think that's the other part of why I'm just, like, uninterested in American crime fiction, because I feel like sometimes it tends towards these things, and it's not for me.
Right.
I'm not into it. So I don't love that aspect of it, but mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm going to give it a try.
Interesting. I still haven't read a Joe Nesbo book yet.
I have, and I don't know. They're not my favorite.
I've heard mixed things, so I was like, I'm going to go through some of the other stuff that for sure sounds 100% interesting to me, and then we'll go from there, and maybe I will. The Snowman sounds like it could be good, but I've never...
See, no. Everybody loses their minds over The Snowman, yes. And I didn't think it was that good.
Yeah, I've heard mixed things. I've also heard the movie adaptation was not good at all, but I have no idea. So my next one is a book that we have both read because we read it together. And that is, stop me if we talked about this in our last one. I don't know that we did, but I'm Traveling Alone by Samuel Bjork.
I don't think we did, no.
Okay, this one I remember it being very... I hate to say that it was very interesting with this first line, because the first line is not good. But I remember the book being, and I'm just going to stop there. So, synopsis for you. A 6-year-old girl is found in the Norwegian countryside, hanging lifeless from a tree with a jump rope around her neck. She is dressed in strange doll's clothes. Around her neck is an airline tag that says, I am traveling alone. A special homicide unit in Oslo reopens with veteran police investigator Holger Munch at the helm. Holger's first step is to persuade the brilliant but haunted investigator Mia Kruger to come back to the squad. She's been living on an isolated island, overcome with memories of her past. When Mia views a photograph of the crime scene and spots the number one carved into the dead girl's fingernail, she knows that this is only the beginning. She'll soon discover that 6 years earlier, an infant girl was abducted from a nearby maternity ward. The baby was never found. Could this new killer have something to do with the missing child, or with the reclusive Christian sect hidden in the nearby woods? Mia returns to duty to track down a revenge-driven and ruthlessly intelligent killer. But when Munch's own 6-year-old granddaughter goes missing, Mia realizes that the killer's sinister game is personal, and I'm Traveling Alone races to an explosive and shocking conclusion. That last line makes me think I remember who did it.
I was like, I read this book, and then I went and looked, and I did, in fact, read this book.
Yes,
I was like,
did.
Why does this sound so familiar?
I forgot that this was a series, and I remember hearing about the, well, there's a lot, but it doesn't look like they've been translated past two. Surprising, because the second one is The Owl Always Hunts at Night. This one was interesting, because it had culty stuff going on.
I also think I think
I either bought the second one, or I was about to.
I read the second one, too. I don't remember anything. I don't remember anything at all. But I gave them 4 stars, so go on, everyone. Give it a try.
What is your next one?
I don't have any more.
Okay. Well, I have some ones that sound like they could be good, so maybe these ones will inspire some additional interest. Words are hard.
I mean, there are a bunch that are out there. There are a bunch that are on my Kindle. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Okay. So next one. It was funny. I had another recommendation, but apparently Goodreads thinks that I can read Dutch or Nordic language, whatever this one is. Sorry. I don't know. It's not clear, and I don't remember where this one is set. So go read The Corpse Flower, because I remember that one being very interesting.
That's the one I was just going to pull up.
Oh, yeah. Pull that one up, because I pulled up the wrong one, so I can't read the synopsis.
All righty. Oh, that is in a language that I don't...
Is it the Goodreads one?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're messing with us. That's the one I had pulled up.
I had just opened it in my Kindle because I was like, ooh, do I only want to read Nordic Noir for the rest of my life after I finished?
Some horror?
Alrighty. Huh. The Scandinavian crime series The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo meets Sharp Objects. Danish journalist Heloise Kalden. That was a... American way to say that, is in the middle of a nightmare. One of her sources has been caught lying, and she could lose her job over it. Then she receives the first in a series of cryptic and unsettling letters from a woman named Anna Keel, wanted in connection with the fatal stabbing of a young lawyer 3 years earlier. Anna hasn't been seen by anyone since she left the crime scene covered in blood. The police think she's fled the country until homicide detective Eric Schaefer, probably not how you say that, comes up with a lead after the reporter who originally wrote about the case is found murdered in his apartment. Has Anna Keel struck again, or is this more than one killer at large, and why does every clue point directly to Heloise Kalden? Meanwhile, the letters keep coming, and they hint at a connection between Anna and Heloise. As Heloise starts digging deeper, she realizes that to tell Anna's story, she will have to revisit the darkest parts of her own past, confronting someone she swore she'd never see again.
Interesting. I remember nothing about it, but I do know that I liked it. I remember listening to it on audio, and it was pretty good.
I got it as like a Prime thing.
Oh, was it one of the first reads?
Twas.
I always like when they do that. Another one I found. So I did a little bit of research just to see like what's out right now, because I feel like when you look up Nordic Noir, it's always like the same 20 books, right? And we've talked about some. So it's kind of interesting. But I pulled some that I had not heard of that are new this year. So the first one that sounds pretty interesting is called Sun by Johanna Gustafsson. The synopsis is an expert on body language and memory and consultant to the Oslo police, psychologist Carrie Voss sleepwalks through her days and by night, continues the devastating search for her young son who disappeared on his birthday 7 years earlier. Still grieving for her dead husband and trying to pull together the pieces of her life, she is thrust into a shocking local investigation when two teenage girls are violently murdered in a family summer home in the nearby village of Sun. When a friend of the victims is charged with the barbaric killings, it seems that the case is closed, but Carrie is not convinced. Using her skills and working on instinct, she conducts her own inquiries, leading her to multiple suspects, including people who knew the dead girls well. With the help of Chief Constable Ramona Norum, she discovers that no one, including the victims, are what they seem, and that there is a dark secret in the heart of Sun Village that could have implications not just for her own son's disappearance, but Carrie's own life too. So, yeah.
That sounds really good.
Sounds like it could be very good. Oh, it's with also, sorry, it's not just by Johanna, it's also by Thomas Anger. So it's a dual author book.
I feel like those work out really well.
I haven't read any yet, but I know Thomas Anger likes to do that because he also has the one going with, who wrote Snowblind?
Ragnar. No.
Yes, uh-huh, Ragnar. I think, or does he has another double author book. I don't know. Oh, it is definitely not that author. It is
somebody else.
Jorn Lear Horst and Anne Bruce was the translator. So Thomas Anger and Jorn Lear Horst did Death Deserved and that whole series.
Yeah. It's funny. I feel like there are a lot of Nordic noir series that are dual author. Like in a way that you don't see a lot here, or maybe I just don't see it. Like, I know Christina Loren is a romance writer, and that's two women, right?
Yes, uh-huh.
And then, like, occasionally, like, I don't know, John Grisham will be, like, my new upcoming friend Carl, and I wrote a book. I don't know. But I feel like it's more common there. Like, Lars Kepler is a husband and wife team.
Yes. Yeah, I think also, I think we're seeing more of that because Reese Witherspoon and Harlan Coben are doing a book together, and I feel like
that's another one.
James Patterson always does that, but I think James Patterson, that's another one, just has,
I think that's who I was writers thinking of when I said John Grisham.
John Grisham and Carl. But yeah, that one sounds like it could be good.
That's fun.
And then what else do we got here? This one, okay, so I don't know if you've read any of this author's books because she wrote The Creek on the Stairs.
I have that one, but I don't think I read it.
Okay, this is by...
Because I remember the cover vividly. I did read it. Wow, my brain is a nightmare land. I didn't like it.
Oh, okay. And why did Laura not like it?
Slow.
I could see that, potentially. I haven't read it, but...
It was slow, and then the ending was too fast, says past Laura in 2021.
I think
it is. But what does she know?
I think it's also worth pointing out that past Laura also thought Shatter Me was the greatest thing to happen on Earth. And as you found
novel.
Out,
it's a great novel. We didn't agree. That's an American classic. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, you can't trust 2020, 2021 Laura. It was COVID, and she was like, everything is great or terrible. There's no in between.
There was no in between. So she has a new standalone book, and by she, I mean, if I can find the right tab, there we are. It's by Eva Bjorg Egostotir. That is not how you pronounce it, so I deeply apologize that my
we should have
dumb
practiced.
American brain. We really
yeah,
should have
practiced. We didn't.
We just we go didn't. In blind and then look like a bunch of idiots, but what do you expect?
Yeah. This is a lesson that I'm learning today, that I'm stupid and I hate myself.
Oh my goodness. So her new book is called, also funnily enough, It's Home Before Dark. That's fun. November 1967, Iceland. 14-year-old Marcy has a secret pen pal, a boy who lives on the other side of the country, but she's been writing to him in her older sister's name. Now, she's excited to meet him for the first time, but when the date arrives, Marcy is prevented from going, and during the night, her sister Stina goes missing. her bloodstained anorak later found at the place where Marcibel and her pen pal had agreed to meet. November 1977, Stina's disappearance remains unsolved. Then, an unexpected letter arrives from Marcy. It's from her pen pal, and he's still out there. Desperate for news of her missing sister, but terrified that he might be coming after her next, Marcy returns to her hometown and embarks on an investigation of her own. But Marcy has always had trouble distinguishing her vivid dreams from reality, and as insomnia threatens her sanity, it seems she can't trust her own memories, and her sister's killer is still on the loose. So there you go.
That also sounds great. They all sound so good to me.
Yeah, like all the plots sound just really good, because it's all like, I feel like it's a lot of time weaving most of the time, like with the plot points. And what I think is also fun, and we'll get into it when we talk about The Mountain King more in depth, but I do like how, at least for me, because of everything going on, I don't actively try to figure out what's happening or who it could be or anything. No. I just know it's someone we've probably met, because usually it is. And then that's about it. That's all I got.
I can't turn off that part of my brain.
I don't even like actively try to. It's just like I realize that I didn't do it. And then there are other times where I'm like, this is what's happening. But like,
yeah. The problem is my like only child syndrome. I must figure it out before everybody else does, because I'm annoying. I can't suffocate that.
Well, that'll be interesting, because I know you had at least one that you told me, one guess. So I'll be interested to see what happened. Okay, I have another one. Did you have any on your Kindle that you wanted to share with the class? No. That's okay. I can tell by your face.
I have one, but it's not, you're doing a good thing where you're like, these ones just came out. So there's one on my list that I want to read, because Netflix has a show called Department Q.
Okay.
And it's based off of a book series. And the first one is The Keeper of Lost Causes, and it's by UC, maybe, Adler Olson. Mm-hmm. And the series is about Detective Carl Mork, who is tasked with solving cold cases in Copenhagen. And the story centers on the disappearance of a prominent politician, Merit Lindgaard, 5 years prior, a case everyone believes is a suicide, but which Mork suspects is something far more sinister. And I watched a couple episodes of the show with my dad. I didn't finish it because I was like, ooh, maybe I want to read the book first. Mm-hmm. Because I really liked the show. But it is British people instead of in Copenhagen. That means to me that they're going to have a lot less coffee and cake. And everyone knows that that's why I'm here. So that is kind of new to my list after that show came out.
Ooh, okay. That does sound good, though. I like it. I have one that could be kind of funny, potentially, because I also think their humor is kind of, like, cut and dry, too, kind of similar to British humor in a way, so it'll be interesting to see how this is, but it's 30 Days of Darkness by Jenny Lund Madsen, and it's apparently coming soon to Netflix, which I just found out right now.
Nice.
Copenhagen author Hannah is the darling of the literary community, and her novels have achieved massive critical acclaim, but nobody reads them. And frustrated by writer's block, Hannah has a feeling that she's doing something wrong. When she expresses her contempt for genre fiction, Hannah is publicly challenged to write a crime novel in 30 days. Scared that she will lose face, she accepts, and her editor sends her to Poo Safjo Oor. Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they did.
I am so sorry. That is so not correct. But it's a quiet, tight-knit village in Iceland filled with colorful local characters for inspiration. But 2 days after her arrival, the body of a fisherman's young son is pulled from the water, and what begins as a search for plot material quickly turns into a messy and dangerous investigation that threatens to uncover secrets that puts everyone at risk, including Hannah. So,
yep.
Could be good. Could be very good.
I don't think I talked about this one the last time we talked about this. I believe this is a show, but I also could be making that up, because sometimes that happens.
Yes,
it is. Nearly Normal Family by M.T. Edverson.
I loved this one. This one was really good.
And it's funny because, like, I don't love a domestic suspense or domestic drama at all. But for some reason, when he does it, it's so good. Because both of his books have been, or the two that are in translation that I have had access to, have, like, a domestic drama aspect to them.
Yeah.
And I don't always, like, expect to like that. But this, it was such a good book. And it was his debut. And it's really great. So when the teenage daughter of responsible, upstanding parents is accused of murder, a family realizes that it isn't love that will keep them together. It's lies. 18-year-old Stella Sandell stands accused of the brutal murder of a man almost 15 years her senior. She is an ordinary teenager from a respectable local family. What reason could she have could she have to know a shady businessman, let alone kill him? Told in an unusual three-part structure, this gripping domestic drama pushes a family to its limits. The father, a pastor, believes his daughter can only be innocent despite mounting evidence. The mother, a defense attorney, believes no one is telling the truth. And the daughter, desperate for her dreams of the future, believes no one understands how far she is willing to go.
Bum, bum, bum.
Bum, bum, bum. Yeah, yeah, and it's really great.
I did like that because I liked how you, because you get everyone's POV or you get a few different POVs, and that one is that when the translation was, is that the donkey translation or was that a different book?
I don't know. You always bring up the donkey and I don't because know where the donkey happened. Because
you
pointed
out, you did. You're like, this is not correct.
I don't know. I think the last time we talked about this, I think we thought it was in The Chestnut Man.
You're right. It might be The Chestnut Man.
But I don't know, and I don't remember doing it. I'm sure I thought it was really funny, but I don't remember it because I don't remember anything.
That is very
unfortunately.
All right, the last one I found is called Into Thin Air by Orjan Carlson. Cover is super cool on this one. And so this one follows when 19-year-old Eastlyn Hansen disappears during a run in a popular hiking area in Bodø, northern Norway. Suspicion quickly falls on her boyfriend. For investigator Jakob Weber, the case seems clear-cut, almost unexceptional, even though there is some suggestion that Eastlyn lived parts of her life beneath the radar of both family and friends. But events take a dramatic turn when another woman disappears in similar circumstances, this time on the island of Rost, hundreds of miles off the coast in the wild ocean. Rumors that a killer is on the loose begin to spread, terrifying the local population and leading to wild conspiracies. But then Jakob discovers that this isn't the first time that young women have vanished without a trace in the region, and it becomes clear that someone is hiding something, and another murderous spree may have just begun again.
The settings there sound really great.
Oh, I bet this one is so atmospheric. It's even on Goodreads. It says, Into Thin Air, the atmospheric, chilling new Nordic noir series.
I'm ready.
So, another one to add to your list.
There are so many. I really hope to just crush a bunch of these this November.
Yeah, me too, honestly. I'm going to have to save some of these and see which ones I can get my hands on. Because it sounds really good. And hopefully now you guys also have some recommendations for November and your own little Nordic noir reading. Tune in 2 weeks because then we're going to be discussing The Mountain King and get even more in depth of why Laura liked it, because I don't think there was coffee or cake in this one that much.
There was no coffee or cake. Well, she had coffee. She did have coffee quite a bit.
There was no cake.
There's no cake.
There was no cake. So,
not a single slice of cake to be had.
But there was other things to be had, namely weird train figurines. So, you have to just tune in to see what that means. Bye.
Bye.